And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him, beaten him, to be crucified. Did you notice as I read to you this morning the transition? The people went from saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," to "Crucify him, crucify him." What happened in those 5 days that changed the mind of the crowd? Simply put, the way I'm going to phrase it is, Jesus wasn't who they wanted him to be. And the Jewish people, they were burdened. They were insulted to have the Romans occupying the land that God had given unto them. They didn't have any love for the Gentile Romans. The Messiah was supposed to, in their minds, the Messiah was supposed to set them free from this Roman occupation. The Romans, they really didn't even acknowledge who Jesus was. In fact, they were going to kill him. And in the minds of the Jews, they thought, well, if this is the real Messiah, that wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen if he was the real Messiah. If he was the Messiah, well, he's a failure at it because of what was happening here. And he was going to die on the cross. In the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 21st chapter and 23rd verse, it says, "For he that is hanged is accused of God." He that is hanged is accused of God, referring to hanging as being anyone that was dying on a cross of crucifixion. They were cursed. So not only were they saying, if this was happening to Jesus, was he a failure? But they were also saying that he was accursed, that he wasn't the Messiah. This morning, I want us to understand they missed the real Jesus. They missed the real Messiah. They missed it because Jesus, in their minds, was not who they wanted him to be. Brothers and sisters, this morning as we gather in the house of the Lord, I'm going to proclaim with a surety that Jesus is the Messiah. That Jesus was and Jesus is exactly who he said that he was. But you see, they missed it. They missed it because Jesus didn't fit into their Messiah box. He didn't fit into what they expected him to be. He didn't fit into what they expected for him to do. And here's the thing. There's people today, I think, that are still missing Jesus. There's people today, they're not seeing him because he doesn't fit into their box of who Jesus is or what he should be doing. And we still see Jesus too often for what we want him to be. And we want Jesus to be a lot of things. We want him to be our problem solver. You know, we want the Lord, you know, we get ourselves into messes. And most of the time, we try everything that we can do to get ourselves out of the mess that we got ourselves in. And if the truth be told, more than often, when we do that, we get ourselves into a bigger mess than we were before we tried to fix the mess. And then what do? Then we cry out to Jesus. Then at that point, when it's a total mess, that's the time we cry out to Jesus and we say, "Lord, get us out of this mess. Solve all of my problems and make everything better." We want the Messiah to clean up our messes. We also want Jesus to be our avenger, don't we? We want him to be our retaliator. You know, somebody has looked at us the wrong way, or someone has said something maybe that we didn't like what they said to us, or maybe they just ignored us altogether. And, you know, we get to this place where they get on our bad side. And now all of a sudden, you know, although we're not supposed to have that attitude, but all of a sudden now we have this attitude that it's time for payback. And, you know, we have this conception in our mind that, you know, Jesus is going to give payback to all those people that bother us. Well, that is a misconception. Jesus told us as his people that we were going to experience persecution. And I believe we're beginning to see more and more persecution in our day than we have in many years past. And I believe it's going to get a lot worse than it is. But, you know, people think, well, the Lord should take care of that. The Lord, He should fight our fights and He should fight our battles. We have this misconception sometimes that Jesus is our ATM. You know, we some of these messes that we get ourselves into, they involve money. They're financially related, and you know, and we want a bailout. We want a bailout of the problem that we're in. And if it's not that, well, then we've got our eyes on the newest, the greatest Xbox that's out there, or maybe it's the newest cell phone or computer or that new car or that new truck that we want. And if we're honest with ourselves, we really don't have the means to get those particular things at that particular moment. And, you know, we know for a fact we're not going to win Publisher's Clearinghouse's sweepstakes that's going on. So where do we go? We turn to the Lord and we beg the Lord to give us the money to get the stuff that we want. We want our Messiah to be our bank. We want Him to be so many things. We want Him to turn back the hands of time. We want Him to restore our youthful looks. And we want to have a certain degree of health that we want to have. And we want to be able to purge our conscience of past sins that we've committed and the wrongdoings that we've done. And then on the other hand, there's those that want Jesus to look the other way. You know, they forget that He's omniscient. They forget that He's omnipresent. And they want the Lord to look away because they've got some temptation that's pulling at them. And there's something that they would like to do, and yet they know themselves that what that thing to do isn't right. Really, could it be that big a deal if I... You fill in the blank of whatever that thing might be for you. So what we're really saying is we don't want the Messiah to hold us accountable to Him. And many times, that's what we want our Messiah to be. That's what we want the Lord to be. And just like the Jewish people in Jerusalem, we've got our own ideas of what the Messiah should be. We've got our own ideas of what we want Him to be. And when He doesn't live up to our expectations, then we become disappointed and we become discouraged in the Lord. And as I was thinking about this, and I thought about that statement, and I thought, well, I don't suppose we stop very often to think or to consider the Lord's disappointment in us and the way that we're living sometimes and some of the things that we're doing. But listen this morning. I want you to listen this morning. That's not who the Messiah is. He isn't all of those things that we want Him to be necessarily. I'll tell you what, He's good to us. Sometimes He blesses us with the things we want. But we really need to understand who the Messiah is, who Jesus is. And, you know, God, Jesus is God incarnate. We know the Bible tells us that He came and He was born in the flesh and He lived His life here. And He is God who walked amongst His creation. And He's not somebody... as I've said in the past, He's not our genie in the bottle that we call upon when there's something that we want. He is God. And I believe this morning that every single person, if you don't know who He is, we can know who He is and we can know how God acts. And the way we can know who He is and how He acts is because of the truth that we find right here in the Word of God, right here in this Holy Bible. We can know who He is because those of us who have been saved, those of us that have a personal experience of salvation, a profession of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit indwells within us, and the Holy Spirit reveals these truths to us. We can see Jesus, and we can know God as the Messiah. Jesus is the true world changer. The entire history of the universe hinges on Him. And I think it's the very first chapter of the book of Revelation. It tells us there, it says that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. It tells us there that which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. That's who God is. That's who He is. And He's revealed Himself to us, and the world has been totally transformed because of the coming of the Messiah. And I don't have time this morning to go in all the detail, but I hope you understand that message. He's responsible for a total transformation. Because of the Adamic sin, humanity was lost and separated and apart from God. Humanity needed to be reconciled back to the Lord. And that could only come through an experience of regeneration. But it had to be done in the right way, and it had to be done in the only way that God planned and prescribed it to be, and that was through the Lord Jesus Christ. So He did make that change. He made the change possible. He made the change available for every single person that would call upon Him with a repentant heart of faith. Friends, as Messiah, Jesus didn't come just to solve our problems, but He came to save us from our problems. And I'm glad today that He can be our personal Savior. He's the God of this world, but He's personable to us. And as the Bible says, there's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're told in the Scripture that there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. So salvation is a personal experience between you and the Lord. I may give an invitation at the end of my message today. I usually do. But the reason I do that is because if the Word of God has affected somebody's heart and they're feeling the drawing of the Holy Spirit to come to the Lord to seek salvation because they know they don't have it, how disappointing would it be if I don't give an invitation? Because Satan's at work too. He's trying to discourage. He's trying to convince people, you know what, he's done, you can leave, don't worry about that. But listen, it's important. It's important that you know who the Messiah is. It's important that you know who Jesus is. It's important that you know what He did on that cross of Calvary that made your salvation possible. He came to save us from the problem of sin. And that's what our main problem is. Our main problem is that we've rebelled against and we've sinned against God. Romans chapter 3, I believe it is, it says, all, that doesn't leave anybody out, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have sinned against our holy and our magnificent God, and all our problems stem from that rebellion against God. And Jesus, our Messiah, the Scripture said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save us from the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. That's the consequences. And what that death means is it means eternal separation from God. But thanks be unto the Lord that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That Friday, they yelled and they cried out, crucify Him! Crucify Him! And if you know your Bible, they did exactly that. But I want you to know this morning that His death was not for nothing. I want you to know this morning that His death made it possible for us to enter into that right relationship with our holy and our magnificent God. The Messiah, Jesus, saves us from our sins. And really, that's the primary problem we got. People say, well, I got this problem, I got that problem. No, our primary problem is sin. But I'm thankful this morning that God can give us forgiveness from sin if we'll call upon Him. He'll forgive us of our sins and He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John chapter 5. I wonder this morning, is Jesus truly your Messiah? Do you know who He is? Do you know what He came to do? I'm reminded in John chapter 1 and verse 41, there was no question, no question in the mind of Andrew that Jesus was the Messiah. Listen to what he said. He was speaking to Simon Peter, and he said, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." They knew who the Messiah was, and they come to the realization that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Him this morning, and what I mean by that, by if you don't have Him, if you don't have an experience of salvation, you know, I guess people hear it differently, you talk about it differently, but I guess I grew up old school. And old school that I grew up with was a song that we sing, "I can tell you now the time, I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His marvelous grace." And that song basically says is there's a time and a place in your life where things changed, where you became, as the Scripture says, a new creature in Christ, where old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. There's a specific time and place where you knew that it took place. We live in a world today where, I won't say misconceptions about salvation, I'll say deception about salvation. There's a lot of deception today about salvation. Some places will just say, you know what? Do you believe that Jesus is the Lord? Do you believe He went to... Do you believe? And then, yeah, yes, I do. Well, praise God, you're saved. I don't find that in the Scripture anywhere. They'll have you come down and shake the preacher's hand. Listen, I can't save a single person. I don't have the ability to save anybody. The only ability, what little I have, is that God gave me a calling to share with you the truth of God's Word, that the Holy Spirit would take the Word, and as when Peter preached, it pricked the hearts of those that were there. All that meant was is that the truth of the Word of God opened your eyes from the blindness of sin, which Satan doesn't want to happen, so that you could see where you stand in relationship with the Lord. It really boils down to saved or unsaved. That's how simple it is. Do you have an experience of salvation or do you not? And if you don't have a time and a place, and the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning and has made that clear to you, well, then you need to seek the Lord. And as I said, I can't save you, but I can tell you what I can do. I can pray. I can pray that God hears your prayer of repentance and that the Lord will save you. I only know about myself. When I became burdened, when I became convicted, and I felt the condemnation of sin, that was my moment of eyes opening. I knew I was separated and apart from God. I was troubled. And I'll be honest with you, I had spurned or turned away the invitation to seek Jesus many times. I guess pride or whatever the reason was. But I can tell you that I reached the point where the burden was of greater concern to me than what anybody sitting around me might have thought or said. And the invitation was given. The song was sung. I didn't move. I was going to not move again. And the pastor, he said after that first song, he said, "I feel like somebody needs to seek the Lord today. We're going to sing another song." We get in that habit, don't we? We sing a song, nobody moves, we leave. And that's okay if that's what we feel like we need to do. But that particular Sunday, he said, "We need to sing another song." And they started singing the song. And my heart was just pounding. I knew I was in trouble. I knew if I died, I was going to die separate and apart from God. And I knew what that meant. I knew that I wouldn't spend eternity in heaven. It'd be someplace else, the Bible described very clearly and distinctly. And I was standing there needing to go. And there was a good sister that attended the church there. Her name was Uni Plemons. And she had a love for lost souls, like Brother Jim mentioned Sister Virgie Carver this morning. And Sister Uni, she wasn't ashamed to leave her pew and go back to somebody and just ask them, "Are you saved? Do you want to go to the altar?" And she'd done that many times. I'd seen her do it. I'd witnessed it. And she got up from her pew and she started back down the aisle. And I always tell people today, I have no idea if she was going to come to me or anybody else because I passed her coming down the aisle as she was going that way. I didn't want to have to speak to her, and I knew what I needed to do. And I came down, it wasn't in this church, but it was a church like this, and I bowed and I prayed unto the Lord. And you know what? I didn't need the preacher or anybody else to tell me when the Lord saved my soul. You know why? Because they don't know. They don't know what the Lord is doing within you, but you do. And the reason that I knew is because the Lord had saved my soul. That burden of unrest that I had, I was relieved of that burden. And I had a peace and I had a joy within my heart that I didn't have before that. And I was able to give thanks unto the Lord and to thank Him in a great and a mighty way because of God's goodness. So that's how I knew. And that's how you'll know, because God will speak peace into your heart. And I'm going to close with this particular thought for you. I've said throughout my message that Jesus wasn't who that they had wanted Him to be. They thought He was one thing, and they would cry out, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and give praise unto Him. And just a few short days later, they were crying out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him," because He wasn't who they wanted Him to be. And I want to tell you this morning, Jesus may not always be who you want Him to be, but I'm going to tell you this morning, He will always be everything that you need. He'll always be everything that you need, whatever you're going through, if you'll just look to Him. So, Brother Will, while you come, and we have a song of invitation. The question I began my message with this morning was, is Jesus truly your Messiah this morning? And if He is, you ought to be praising the Lord, if not outwardly, praising the Lord inwardly, because of the peace and assurance that you have of a relationship with the Lord. And here's the thing, here and now, being in a relationship with the Lord isn't just something that's off in the future sometime when we pass from this life and enter into the portals of glory, or the Lord comes back to gather His own and take us to that place that He's prepared in heaven. But when He saves us, we enter into one of the most precious, intimate relationships that we'll ever have, in that relationship with the Lord Jesus. And it is so precious, and it is so wonderful. And we enjoy it here and now as we live and we follow and trust in the Lord. That's my message this morning. Is the Messiah, is Jesus, is He your Messiah? In other words, is He the Savior? Let's stand together. Let's have a song of invitation. If you feel the need to seek the Lord today, the invitation is before you.